When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Anyway, I just don't want to do any more work. I've worked for 64 years, and in July I'll be 86. So, you know, let's face it, my time has come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Let's get it, man. Keith McPherson on The Fan, talking sports, taking your calls. 877-337-6666. We're talking about the Yankees. We're talking about the Mets. We're talking about your New York Knicks. We're talking about the NFL draft. It goes down tonight. We will know who the Giants are selecting. Will they be selecting their quarterback of the future? Will they get a receiver, a playmaker? Are the Jets that in love with Brock Bowers that if he's there at 10, they have to take him? What if Rome Odunze is there? What if the second best offensive tackle is there? It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun to see the trades that go down. The thought I had was Major League Baseball is going to see why they should include trades in their draft and their draft coverage, because that is the whole excitement, right? You're on the clock, and the next thing you know, whoop, this team has traded the pick. Now the suspense kicks in. Wait, who are they going to get? Patrick Mahomes? 877-337-6666. I need a Jets fan to call me up and tell me what the plan is for gangrene. I need a Giants fan to call me up and tell me that they're not really spending this much time with J.J. McCarthy, who was splitting time two seasons ago with Cade McNamara. And now that Michigan went undefeated behind that strong defense, and those two running backs, a couple good receivers, and just a good coach that moved on to the NFL, J.J. McCarthy hype is real. I don't know. I just think that that's not, J.J. McCarthy to me does not translate to a guy that in this modern day NFL is going to do what Patrick Mahomes does, what Lamar Jackson does, what Josh Allen does, what C.J. Stroud does. Do I need to continue? Like, those guys are game breakers, game changers. Those guys can take over the game. 877-337-6666. My guy Jarvis in Harlem back on The Fan.
What's up, Keith?
What's up, How you doing? Good, good.
Yeah, I was just watching the NBA. You know, OKC blow out the
Pelicans.
Which is a poof. Down 2-0. So, yeah, I want to talk about the Yankees and one about the NBA. The last call of Lou was not impressed about the Oakland win. I don't know if he's so not impressed about it.
They're 17-8. They're in first place. Right, guys are hitting. Exactly. I don't know
why Yankees been complaining.
Never satisfied, you know.
I am satisfied. But, you know, they get a win.
I'll take it. I had a good time up there today. That's what I expected. I expected them to hit home runs. I expected them to score runs. They put up 7 runs. Good.
Yeah. Hopefully we get another winning series, because I know they lost their first series against the Blue Jays on in Toronto. So, you know, that just, you know, but hopefully they get a win.
Can't split the series with the Oakland A's. Unacceptable. Have to win tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Oakland's not a good baseball team, so, you know, they just rebuild.
They're not of the caliber of the Yankees ever.
Right, no, never. And one about the NBA, you know, I saw the Monday game when, you know, my basketball team, when Jamal Murray brought that game with a jump shot. After the Lakers blew a 20-point lead, I was in my apartment just like screaming, like I was like, let's go. I was just like pumped up and just, I was like excited they got that game with a buzzer, man. But it seemed like the Lakers just can't match up with the Lakers. They just can't. The Lakers just can't match up with the Nuggets.
They got nothing for the Nuggets. Sweep.
Yeah.
Sweep
coming.
Sorry, Bron.
Against the Nuggets.
Sorry, Bron. You end up running into Jokic at the end of your career. LeBron is a GOAT, but Jokic is one too.
Yeah. I mean, please. He's trying to get that third MVP, man. Trying to repeat the go to the NBA Finals. But you know, and then one thing about the Knicks is like, I hate all the Knicks fans, the Knicks crowd said, we want Boston. I mean, y'all are 2-seed. You don't face Boston until the Eastern Conference Final. So
yeah, some of these young kids they're cooked, man. They're on the edibles. They didn't even go to the game. They're just outside saying anything. Knicks in four. We want Boston. Slow down.
Yeah, let's just pop down. just win the series and just win the first round against the 76ers, and then go. I don't know who they play in the next round. I don't know.
The Pacers and Bucks are tied 1-1. The Boston series is 1-1. We don't know what is going to happen. We don't know who's advancing. The Knicks have it made right now, it seems, but they got to go to Philly and see if Philly's going to try, and you're going to get Philly's best shot on their floor tonight. It's coming up.
Probably game 3 or 4. So one of
they got Philly back to their homes. They're rested. They're game planning. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they watched film of both those games. Nick Nurse probably hasn't slept trying to come up with a plan to beat the Knicks. You're going to get their best shot in front of their home crowd tonight. That's why I say as many Knicks fans as possible should go down there and try and affect the game.
Right. All right, Keith. Talk to you later, man.
Thanks for the call, Jarvis. Knicks fans, call me up. We got Knicks fans on the line. Tell me how you feel. It is now Thursday. It is now time for game 3. And like I said, Cleveland is up 2-0. But the Celtics, right? We want Boston. Well, the Celtics are now in a tied series. And the team that you're going to face next between the Bucks and the Pacers, they're in a tied series. Man, go up 3-0 and start to smell rest coming. Rest is needed. Your team, these guys play 48 minutes. Your team is exhausted. They need the rest. You want to be rested before you face Dame and maybe a hobbled Giannis. I think if they face the Pacers, I think the Knicks aren't worried about the Pacers. What do I know, though? Avery's out in St. Louis, back on the Fan in New York. What's up, kid?
Hey, Keith. How's it going?
Good.
Before I talk Knicks, I just have to say I absolutely love what they did at the stadium with the Yankees win.
I love it too, bro. It's just
such a good change.
We needed it. We needed something to differentiate. People thought about different songs.
We can't play Frank when they win and when they lose.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Now John Sterling retires. You get to honor him. They even have the graphic up with Yankees win in his face. Keep it forever.
Right.
Keep it forever.
And when we spoke last week, you said that to me on the phone. And look at this on WFAN, speaking it into existence.
Yeah,
how about that?
I don't know. I'm not trying to take credit for it because supposedly, I don't know. I didn't tweet it until Saturday, but I think I did mention it last week on the Fan.
You said it to me on the phone.
I've been giving credit to Brian Hoke because I think Monday when we got the news, Hoke tweeted it out, but I don't need the credit. I just wanted the change. And tonight was the first night I saw the final out get made in the outfield. I was standing right by section 130. I got to hear it. It was awesome. I love the change. Thank you, Yankees, for doing that.
Yeah. And on to Knicks now. This is my opinion. I think I absolutely believe without a doubt the Knicks can win. I think they are in a, obviously, they're up 2-0, right? The thing is, this is interesting to me. This is what I think that I haven't really heard yet as much because of what happened in the last game we saw. Joel Embiid he's injured. We understand he has a hurt knee. But it seems that somehow, as the NBA player and the reigning MVP that he is, he comes into every game and he shoots like he's barely hurt. And I know he's not Joel Embiid of last season, but it seems like there is still that loss of Julius Randle that we're seeing show itself, and I feel like that's something that we saw in the previous game. So they have to be careful.
Of course, Julius Randle is an all-star. Julius Randle is a force. When Julius Randle is right, he's putting up 30 points. He's getting 10 boards.
No lead is secure.
I just think they've evolved. Their team is different. They might, I don't know. I think they might be missing Julius, but I don't feel like they're not as strong, if that makes any sense. Like, I think they're still strong as they are currently constructed. They're just different. And what you wish is that, you know, OG Anunoby scores some more points. DiVincenzo has to have a good shooting night. Josh Hart has to keep it up as well. And the bench players, when they get their minutes, they have to take advantage. Boyan and Miles, they got to shoot the three. They got to knock down shots. Has to happen.
So far, so good.
Their bench is better than the Sixers' bench?
No, without a doubt, 100%. I mean, the grittiness and push that this team has, the fact that they, the way Josh Hart is playing, Deuce McBride, I mean, everybody, yes. That's obscene.
It's a team.
It's obscene. It's so good.
Avery, the Sixers have two guys. It's literally a two-man game. It's Embiid or Maxey. Even at the end of that game, Maxey didn't know what to do with the ball. Pass it to Embiid. He chucks it out. It's Embiid or Maxey. The Knicks have a team. Any of those starting five can score the basketball, can shoot the ball. Obviously, Hartenstein's not shooting the ball, but he has some offensive game. And with Brunson being somewhat neutralized or somewhat less than what he's been, the rest of the guys pick up the slack. That's basketball. When you play basketball, and as you get older in basketball, they teach you. You get double teamed, find the open man. Find where that guy came from, but make the right play. Don't force it. They're doing that.
All right. I agree. I see it. And the thing that, above all else, we have that they don't have is that not just the camaraderie of the team, but that push, that desire to keep pushing to the last buzzer, to the last...
Yeah, it's not over till it's over. They don't rest.
They're never knocked down.
Right.
They don't rest. That's what I'm saying. So I expect entertaining end to this series, and thanks for taking my call. Have a good night.
Thanks for the call, Avery. Knicks fans, call me up. Yanks fans, call me up. Mets fans, call me up. I know the Mets game's now. Seems like it was forever ago. We can still talk NFL draft, of course. I'm looking at NFL.com right now, and man, this is it. Today, we'll find out. Somebody's going to fall. Somebody's going to drop. Somebody's going to get reached for. Somebody's going to reach for Xavier Worthy because he ran the fastest 40 time ever. And that kid is 100 pounds soaking wet. So, buyer beware. Like, I just, when I see guys like that, I'm like, they got to put some weight on them. Because those guys, like, in the NFL, everybody's fast. And if you can't get a lane for them or you can't drop a play to get them in the wide open, they're going to get their heads taken off. They're going to get rocked. You can't be fast unless you have a runway to... We'll talk. I'm going to get to a point where I go through these mock drafts tonight and I go through these prospects tonight and we talk all through it and specifically look at what the Jets and Giants are going to do, and I'll give you my predictions. I pretty much have told you all along what I think the Jets and Giants should do. 877-337-6666. Let's keep it with the Knicks, though. I was trying to look up the ticket prices. Kevin in Connecticut, I'm coming your way next. I'm no Knicks fan. But, I mean, I remember thinking about going down in 2018 to see the Nets versus the Sixers. No way in hell was I going down last year to see the Nets get swept by the Sixers. I didn't stand a chance. Bro, you can get into the arena for $90 right now. Let's see what one ticket is. Yeah, $90 right now. So, all right. Nobody wants to be sitting on the roof, though. Let me zoom in and see. Like, there are so many seats available for a playoff game in Philadelphia. Trust the process. They are forever processing. It is a process of forever processing. Like, my man Sean said he's sitting on the floor tomorrow. Like, there's going to be Knicks fans on the floor. All right. So let me see the closest seats and how much a pair of tickets cost tomorrow. Bro, you can sit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rows back for a total of $500. One ticket, $476. To be 6 rows back from the floor. Let's see, 2 tickets. And I always do this. As like a fan, I always just like, I always hear Evan do this too. That's how, you know, me and Evan, honestly, Evan and I both, even like Tiki, some of these, like, we can just call in favors. We don't really have to buy tickets. But like, it's just always good to look and know, like, all right, where is the market right now? Where are the Sixers fans right now? Floor seats are available. Well, those are ridiculous. There's some $15,000 seats to be on the floor. You sit next to Lil Uzi Vert, Meek Mill, and Michael Rubin. But I wouldn't want to be sitting on the floor there. These are great seats. Hold on. To be at center court, continue. Buy these and give up selected seats. Yes, I'm Ticketmaster. I'm not actually going to check out. Oh, now they want me to log in. Let me see. I guess I'll do it for the sake of the show. I'm not buying anything, though. There are some seats at half court. You can be in the center of the arena. Two tickets for like a G. I don't know. I think it's like, what I think about is, all right, it's a little bit more. It's closer to over $3,000 for these tickets. And I don't want to accidentally click place order because I think the Ticketmaster does have my credit card information. But either way, my message to you, and I was talking to people in the stadium today, and I know a lot of people that are going, a lot of Yankee fans that are like, this is the most wonderful time for those of you that are Knicks, Rangers, Yankees, Giants fans. Like this is the best day ever. This is Christmas. You're hoping that the Yankees win the series against the Oakland A's, and Juan Soto and Judge and Rizzo and everybody else continue their hot streak. You're hoping that the Knicks go down to Philadelphia, where it's not too far for you to travel to. You could literally ride down there, go to Xfinity Live. You can watch the draft down there. You could go down there, take over their arena, get a win, go up 3-0. Maybe the Giants trade up, draft Drake May, their quarterback of the future. Or maybe they take Michael Penix Jr. instead of J.J. McCarthy. And the Rangers, I know you got to wait for the Rangers. Rangers play Friday, but it's coming up. Kevin in Connecticut, I said I was coming your way. You're on the Fan. What's up?
Hey, Keith. I appreciate you taking the call.
Yes, sir.
Just want to touch base on the game two from the other night. And, you know, I go on the social media for Philly and everything, and I see everybody complaining about the no call. But what I don't hear people talking about is Maxey pushes off of Dante to get open. The ref's right there. You know, I'm thinking the refs probably let that go. They had to let the jersey tug go. You know, they were letting a lot of things go that whole final sequence.
They let them play because they couldn't. You couldn't let that. They had to. They learned. And I think there was a message sent out from Silver and all the officiating and NBA officials. Hey, in those last seconds, let it play out. If it's not egregious, if it's not obvious, let it play out. And they didn't call anything. Good.
Correct. And if I'm a Knicks fan, diehard Knicks fan, so I try to look at everything. I'm not one of those Knicks fans that, oh, we're up 2-0, we're going to sweep. But I'm saying if Philly ends up losing this series, you know, Nick Nurse is got to be on the hot seat because he wants to complain he didn't get a timeout. We all know he didn't.
He half-assed it. Yeah, he didn't emphatically call timeout.
He should have called timeout right after the bucket went in. That's the first blunder. The second blunder is in game one, he doesn't foul down five with 8 seconds left. And the Knicks just showed you in game two what could happen in 6 seconds. It was a 6-point swing in 6 seconds. And he doesn't foul down 5 points with like 8 seconds left to go in the game. And, you know, that I think he's starting to realize, he's like, oh, I messed up in game one by not fouling, because I'm sure he heard about that. He's like, I should have called the timeout after the bucket went in to take inbound the ball from half court to avoid all this. And now he's starting to get worried. He's like, oh, man, that's
I don't thing. Care if it, I don't care who is coaching the Sixers. It could be Nick Nurse. It could be Doc Rivers. It does not matter. I don't care who is the surrounding cast around Joel Embiid. They're going to meet the same fate regardless. They're frauds. They always find a way to choke and lose. So right now, all they're doing is crying. That's not helping their case. Embiid just declared that they're winning this series. He just made a proclamation. He said they're coming back to win. Let's see. You're going to get their best shot tonight. If the Knicks can take that punch and win, it's over.
I agree. And I'm not overly concerned with Brunson not performing up to what we're used to, because if you look back at all the Philly games this year, Obertree shut him down from start. And Philly forces him to his right, and they have his number. So I don't think it's Brunson being tired or he can't handle the pressure. I think it's just he's never performed that well against Philly.
Two, three guys that are taller, longer than him, they're on him. Their job is, hey, don't let Jalen Brunson beat you. It's hard. Basketball is hard in general. To put that ball in the hoop is not easy. And then when you have guys mugging you, fouling you, tailing you, it's tough to do. Thanks for the call, Kevin. I don't know, set some screens, draw up some plays. Or Brunson could just go unconscious, get super hot back in Philly where he goes off for 30, 35, 45 like we were seeing him towards the end of the year. And it's not like he's going scoreless. Like, he's still putting up 20, 25. His shooting percentage is just down because, you know, they're all on his back. Ash is in Brooklyn. One more call on the Knicks before we started getting to this draft stuff.
Thank you so much. I got to say, I'm calling in as a Villanova alumni.
Nice.
And I watched 2018. I watched 2016. And, like, Jay Wright just, like, taught a winning pedigree.
Yeah.
And, like, it's amazing. Like, these guys, they're playing at MSG. They played every single tournament in college, like, at MSG. They played the Big Five tournament in Wells Fargo. This is the Villanova Knicks. Like, I just wish that there'd be more Villanova people calling in, because we got, I mean, like, to me, from a personal standpoint, like, I cried. The only time I ever cried watching a game was 2016. That was, you know,
when your school, like, what year did you graduate?
I taught there. So I was there earlier. Kyle Lowry. So
that's amazing.
Kyle Lowry was in my history class, but I was still there affiliated, like, you know, in 2016, 2018.
Yeah, there's a different level of pride there. That's not even like being a fan. Like, you know, a lot of people are like UNC or Duke fans or UConn fans. Like,
yeah,
you were on campus.
It's pedigree. Like, you know, like Jay Wright taught how to win. You know, and like you got these three guys that were there, like they're familiar with MSG, they're familiar with Wells Fargo. Every single big game, you know, I frankly hated like that we didn't get to play in Finneran Pavilion for the big games. We had to play the big games at Wells Fargo, but like they know how to win. They're going down to Philly for game 3 and 4. Come on, like it's gonna be a home game for them. Like,
saying. It that stuff matters. Comfort matters, familiarity matters.
Yes. Locality matters, like So I appreciate you like showing some love for Villanova, but for showing like the Nova side of the Knicks, like this is an advantage to me.
I think it's a huge advantage. That nostalgia, that feel of like, bro, I got buckets on this floor. I've shot at this hoop. I've seen this. You know, it's familiarity. It helps. My opinion, I think it's only a positive for the Knicks.
Absolutely, and I just implore your fans, because you got such a huge fan base. I just wish some more Villanova fans would call in. Because I know they're all from South Jersey. But, like, I wish they would call in and show,
they're
like...
They're Sixers fans, though. And they're compromised.
Yeah, my cousin is
they're
there.
They're split.
Yeah,
they're like, I don't know how to feel about this. Like, I like those guys, but I wish we weren't playing against them.
Bro, my cousin had suite tickets he showed up with a Sixers hat and, like, showed up at a suite at MSG for game 2. You know, like, I don't like that. Anyway, like, I just hope you get some more Villanova callers in, man. Like seriously, there's a lot of love out there. It doesn't matter whether we're South Jersey or Philly or whatever this. Like, it's just that, like, you know, that meme. I don't know if you saw that meme of, like, the three DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, and Jalen Brunson wearing their Villanova jerseys on top of the New York Knicks, like, you know, like, you know. So
you can't miss it. And, you like, no one's not talking about it. It's a huge factor in all this. Thank you for the call, Ash. I'll say this. The pedigree, the winning culture, how they practice. If you listen to the Roommates pod and these guys go back and talk about Jay Wright and their time at Villanova, man, just the fact that these guys have that much rapport and experience with each other on the floor. All they talk about in the NBA is team chemistry. Oh, well, you need chemistry for these guys to gel. Look at the Suns, bro. Look at KD. KD is going out sad again. Katie, you should have kept your little peasy head right there in Brooklyn. You should have just stayed with the Brooklyn Nets and fulfilled your commitment, that 4-year extension. You just wanted to run and chase Devin Booker and then Bradley Beal. You guys don't have what it takes. You don't have the cohesion. You don't have the chemistry to win. We're talking about three guys that did it twice in college. They've been in the trenches together. They've been in wars together. On the floor together. They're doing it at the NBA level. I don't know. I see something to it. Let's take a Giants call as we're going to really start to cook up on the draft. The draft is tonight. We're hours away. The Giants got to get their quarterback of the future to pair with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. My guy Joe is in Rutherford, New Jersey, back on the Fan.
What up, Keith?
You know.
Tell me something cool, dude. Come on.
Man, stadium was right tonight, bro. I actually was right by your spot when Judge hit that homer right by the terrace. Shout out to Alvin and the guys from Mickey's Pub. I just went to say what's up to them real quick. And Judge got rang up, and we all kind of like, ah. And then we're like, wait, Judge coming back? And next thing you know, X gonna give it to you. The lights are going off. Everyone's like, yeah, dun, 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 dun.
There's not many things better than a Yankee Stadium home run.
Right away, it just like it starts the party right away. People just relax. People start buying drinks. People are chilling. It's a different vibe right away when you score right away.
I just want to say how much of like a breath of fresh air it is that like we're like hours before the NFL draft and no one's talking about it. Like, are you like? It's been years like since this has happened. It's incredible.
No, we're talking about it. A lot of people are talking about it. It's just no one actually knows. Like, I don't actually know what the Giants are going to do. Because in the last couple of days, bro, it's been three different quarterbacks. It was J.J. McCarthy, then it was Drake May, and then yesterday it was Michael Penix Jr. So now there's three different quarterbacks that they're potentially going to draft.
Well, that's my question. I've seen on some of these mock drafts that people are saying that the Giants are going to draft Bo Nix in the second round. Like, I'm just...
I guess if they get Malik Nabers, and Bo Nix may not fall to the second round.
Here's what I'm saying though: like you see that like super awkward interview from Daniel Jones the other day when he's looking like Adam Gase with like the bugged out eyes and all that. Like
I feel for Daniel Jones; he's in an awkward position again.
That like clearly looked awkward, right? And then you look at it, the fact like these guys aren't going to go out, and what I mean by these guys, I mean Daboll and Shane, they're not going to go out without getting their guy, right? And I'm in a position where I firmly believe that they're going to draft a quarterback because for all intents and purposes, Keith, if they stink this year, they're gone. And you know who's right there? Bill Belichick. You know what I mean? And Bill Belichick has an incredible relationship with the Maras, right?
Yeah.
So with that being said, with that awkward interaction, you know, from DJ earlier last week, I'm saying they get a guy. What guy? I don't know. And it's unbelievable that, you know, in this modern era that there's no way to really determine, you know, the success of these quarterbacks. And as someone who's played quarterback, right, like obviously that's where, you know, you recruited with, what's really the differentiator between people that can do it and people that can't do it?
Oh, last night I was going in talking about reps, talking about how important it is to get reps as a quarterback. You need to see every kind of defense. You need to see plays break down. You need reps to just know what to do in every type of situation. And a lot of times these guys don't get enough reps. Like I look at Jaden Daniels, I think he's got enough reps, but he had one big year in the SEC at LSU, and now they're comparing him to Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson, Robert Griffin. I just like, it's about experience, man. It's about, I even talked about Tyson Bagent and how I liked him coming out of Division II Shepherd University because he was a five-year starter. So he was under center for 5 years. He had seen a lot. You need reps. If you're going into the NFL where everybody is fast, all of these guys are smart, everybody's strong, it's a mental game. And the more reps you have, the more defenses you've seen and read, the better off you'll be. Now, with the Giants, Brian Daboll is this quarterback whisperer. You've seen him get the most out of Tommy Cutlets. You've seen him get 300-yard games out of Tyrod Taylor. I think he can work with anybody. I think as a Giants fan, you've got to just trust that he's looked at the film, he's interviewed these guys, and he's confident in whoever they're going to get. And you know that they're taking a quarterback if they can get one of the guys that they like because it extends their leash, and they're done with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is 2 years from Giants fans chanting his name, him leading them to the playoffs, winning a road game, and a year from getting the bag, getting $40 million a year. The NFL is crazy. It's not for long. And I think they're done with Daniel Jones. It's obvious.
So I'll leave you on this, Keith. What is your gut saying? If you had to say, like, if we have to put money on the table, right, and we're making a bet, who do you see the Giants drafting?
Not J.J. McCarthy. I think that's the smokescreen to let everybody think, oh, yeah, we're cool with J.J. McCarthy. I think they're going to try their hardest to trade up to three where the Patriots are and take Drake May. But I think there is some reality to Michael Penix Jr.
And, you know, I guess for me, you know, I'm going to ride with Daboll, right, because I think what you just said, he's already shown that he has the ability to coach these guys. He got as much as he can get from Tommy Cutlets. There's been a clear drop-off with Allen in Buffalo, with Daboll and without him. So I'm gonna ride with Daboll. And I will say this, Keith, to the goofies that keep chanting the people's names in the right field, like, somebody's got to check these guys. That's all I got to say. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for the calls. We've kind of worked on it. But we're like, it is what it is, bro. There's too many copycats. They want to do a second roll call. These guys are glazing Juan Soto the entire game. They just want to get a Juan Soto any inning and try and get him. It's just whatever. Just do the roll call in the beginning. Join in on the roll call in the first inning. And then chill with the chanting the players' names. Unless they hit a homer, right? And rounding the bases. Unless there's a curtain call, whatever. It's just like trying to do the roll call later in the game to get the reaction from the players. It's like, what are you guys doing? I don't know. 877-337-6666. Giants fans, if you disagree with Daboll and Shane needing to take a quarterback, right? They could take Malik Nabers, but for a while I've said, Malik Nabers is only good as the guy throwing him the ball. Who's throwing him the ball? Drew Lock? I don't think Daniel Jones is going to be healthy. He's not going to be Tommy Cutlets. So, 877-337-6666. We're talking Giants. We're talking Knicks. Of course, we're talking Yankees and Jets as well. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Now here's Chino. One on, two out. Pitch is swung on and drilled. The deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. The Fan Chino with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
I was talking, my mic wasn't on. Fleek says, I thought you were doing that for TikTok. No, I was like, all the single ladies. Can we get any ladies on the phone? It's ladies' night on The Fan. Some Beyonce bringing us back from commercial break. 877-337-6666. I actually get a fair amount of women callers on The Fan and real life. I'm married, though. Chill. Hey. Relax. Take it easy. Yeah, I usually get at least one or two. And not just Miriam from Forest Hill. Shout out to Miriam, though. Let's go, Isles. Let's go, Icelanders. Like, let's go, though, for real, for real. Like, you got to go. This one. Like, as this is a must-win for the Philadelphia Sixers, it's a must-win over there in UBS for the Islanders fans. I don't want to leave y'all out. If you guys want to call in, You're welcome to do that. This is The Fan in New York. You're part of New York, too. How you feeling? 7:30 p.m., the Hurricanes with a 2-0 lead going to UBS. I mean, Islanders are plus 136. They got to win this one. It's going to be tough, though, man. That last one was demoralizing. Anyway, before the break, we were talking about the Giants. And here I'll give you my thoughts and predictions for Giants and Jets, and we'll bring the Jets into the conversation for the New York Giants. I understand this is a talented quarterback draft. I also understand there's buyer's remorse, whatever. I also understand that your current $40 million quarterback is recovering from ACL surgery. He's got a neck issue. He's had a ton of injuries. And even when he's healthy, he's not effective. Like, there are numbers out there that say that Daniel Jones is just not an NFL caliber good quarterback. He had one good year. They defaulted into paying him, and I think Daboll and Shane know this is an opportunity as head coach and GM that doesn't come around too often, and it might not come around ever again. And how do you want to go out? You want to go out with Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, and no, because you're not 100% sure of what this year is going to be. They were ahead of schedule the first year, playoffs, one on the road. Way behind schedule, actually looked like a rebuilding team last year. It looked like a team that should have tanked for a while last year. Then, for, you know, morale, they were able to win some games. You lose Saquon Barkley, but you have a good offseason. You bring in Brian Burns. Shout out to Brian Burns hanging out with Kayvon Thibodeau. Those guys already hitting it off. I think you need a playmaker. So if Malik Nabers is there, there's just a couple scenarios, right? And now we'll play them out, and I'll tell you what I think, right? At six, if they stay at six, do not draft J.J. McCarthy. I think that's like taking Daniel Jones at six, maybe worse. Take Malik Nabers. He's an explosive playmaker. Assuming he's there. Assuming he's there at six. If you're able to trade up, which like it takes two to tango, right? Somebody's got to give you that, and you're going to have to give up a lot. Then the trade-up should be to get Drake May. But my last possibility is instead of taking Malik Nabers or J.J. McCarthy at six, trade back and see if you can get Michael Penix Jr. 877-337-6666 for the Jets at 10. I understand there are a ton of Jets fans that are like, give Aaron Rodgers another weapon. We never have a tight end. We need a franchise tight end. We never have a tight end. You actually do. Tyler Conklin is a pretty good receiving tight end. And him and Rucker together, two tight end formations, I think both those guys can be solid. I don't think anyone should be drafting tight end in the top 10 picks, but I understand it's a sexy pick. I understand. I mean, even Aaron Rodgers, let's think about Aaron Rodgers throwing to the tight end. What tight end tore up the league with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball? He's not a heavy tight end passer in that offense. It's not like, I don't know. So Brock Bowers, to me, I think is a luxury pick there. If I am the Jets, I'm looking two ways. Offensive tackle first, because you did bring in Mike Williams. And I know you added some additions to the offensive line, but these guys are older. And you just had Dwayne Brown. And even like Vera Tucker is now injury prone. And like you can't, the offensive line has to be right. Man, I swear last year when they were practicing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and we started hearing rumblings about the offensive line and Aaron Rodgers was asked about it, too many people, even here on this station, were like, it's fine. It's just training camp. It's going to get sorted out. The offensive line will be fine. I'm like, no. It doesn't work like that. Like, draft the best offensive tackle there because you brought in Tyron Smith. Yes, I applaud that. But as a stupid Dallas Cowboys fan, I'm going to tell you straight up, that guy is not solid. He's not on solid ground. That guy is one play away. He could get hurt in OTAs. He could get hurt in August. So why not have insurance for him this year and have your tackle of the future that can learn from him? He's on a one-year deal with a bunch of escalators. So draft the best tackle there. I don't think it's going to be Joe Alt, but it could be Fashanu. It could be, you know, whoever. And if you want to go super sexy and give another weapon to Aaron Rodgers, then you take the best wide receiver available, who I think will probably be Rome Odunze. 877-337-6666. Eric is in Ron Konkoma on the Fan in New York.
Hey, what's up, brother?
What's up, Eric?
With the Jets, right? So, sitting at the 10th spot, if Aaron Rodgers is going to be our quarterback for the next few years, and that's obviously hoping, right, wishful thinking, you got to show up that O-line, man. And Bo, we don't really do well when it comes to drafting tight ends anyway. So, I mean, do you go wide receiver if, you know, if you're confident that your O-line's going to stay healthy? But, I mean, like you just said, you know, with Smith, great pickup, right? But I don't know if he's going to stay healthy.
Follow me here, Eric. This is what I think. And I'm not a Jets fan, but I lean gangrene. I'm rooting for the Jets. I know some people think I hate Aaron Rodgers and I hate the Jets. I don't. I just have been, you know, passionate about Zach Wilson sucks and stuff like that. But I would be so scarred from last season that I would want plan A, B, C, and D on that offensive line to have a wall in front of 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I'd have so much PTSD. I'd be so worried about protecting that man that I would have to get a monster. I would get the biggest, strongest, nastiest guy I could get at 10 to block for Aaron Rodgers. This is a deep draft for tackles and receivers, but there are some surefire guys at the top. I think that you can find, like, Puka Nacua was drafted in the 5th round. I think you can find some talented wide receivers later in the draft. Not for nothing, you were running Xavier Gibson out of there from Stephen F. Austin, undrafted last year. Take the best tackle available.
Oh, that's absolutely. That's where I'm leaning because, one, I think picking up Mike Williams this year was a good pickup. Because, I mean, Lazard is, you know, but.
Maybe you can trade Lazard tomorrow or over the weekend, too. Maybe you can flip him somewhere.
Yeah, and I mean, Gibson, listen, he was big for us. And, you know, we didn't have anybody really that was throwing to these guys. I mean, you know, can you go wide receiver and go opposite of Wilson on the other side? Yes. But like you said, it is a wide receiver. It's deep. So the only thing that kills us, obviously, is that second round, not having that second round pick. So, but, I mean, you know, I think O-line is where we got to go.
Thanks for the call. It's a deep class of wide receivers. I think that if you go tackle and take the second best tackle off the board, you won't regret it because it's not just a play for this season. It's an insurance play for this season. And I'm trying to tell y'all, I've been saying this. I forget the Jets fan I was going back and forth with like weeks before Tyron Smith. I'm like, yo, Tyron Smith is there to be got. There's a reason the Cowboys aren't re-signing him. There's a reason that he didn't go back to Dallas. Because the Cowboys are like, we can't pay you based off of what we've seen from you these last couple years. You're not available. And then we have to reconfigure our line and move pieces around and play, you know what I'm saying? We move Tyler Smith out or put Terrence Steele there or whatever. I hope that he stays healthy. But you just had the experience with Dwayne Brown, an older offensive tackle coming over that wasn't available. It is not just an insurance play. It's a long play. Draft the best offensive tackle available. And then later on in the draft, see what wide receivers fall. Right? I just saw a mock draft that said Keon Coleman was going to fall. I don't think Keon Coleman is falling. From Florida State, that dude is a dog. He is built up like an action figure. He also is a threat in the return game. He returns kicks and punts. And he was a beast at Florida State. I think he's a first-round talent. But everybody's talking about Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze, even Brian Thomas and Xavier Worthy because of what he ran. This is a deep wide receiver draft. The Jets have a few picks. If the top three receivers are gone, take the best tackle that's there. 877-337-6666. Bruce is in Flushing, back on the Fan. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, Keith. Giants, and I'm going to ask you a tough Yankee question. First on the Giants. The guy the Giants want is Drake May. This is a guy who people consider possibly to be the number one pick. This guy has done it. Not only that, he's gone to Eli Manning's camp. Eli loves him. Wouldn't be surprised if Eli has talked to John Mara and said, this guy is the real deal. So now the question is, can they get Drake May? We don't know that. They're going to give it the best shot. Now, if they can't get Drake May, then I'm sure Joe Shane has got Plan B, Plan C, and Plan D. So we don't know what those are. They could make a deal with Atlanta and just go two spots to Atlanta because Atlanta either wants an offensive tackle or wide receiver. They can go to 12. I heard Denver wanted to offer him swap picks. A second round this year, and a number one next year. So we don't know what's going to happen, but I do believe that May is the number one target, and I do believe they want a quarterback because I'm not worried about the knee. I think the Giants are worried about that neck. 2 years in a row, he's missed significant time with a neck injury. They don't always go away, and that's why I think the Giants are main concern about Jones. Your comments didn't have the Yankee point.
Yeah, to me, Daniel Jones is there, but they are not banking on him. They are putting no eggs in the Daniel Jones basket. They can't. Fool me, can't fool me again. I think they're going to try their best to trade up to 3 and take Drake May. If they can't, I don't think J.J. McCarthy is a real play here.
That's a smoke screen.
I think that's been the smoke screen. Even with him coming out there, it's like wishful thinking, right? I want to be drafted that high. I've spent the most time with the Giants. They're going to take me. That's what everyone's saying. No, this kid was not a bona fide guy. Just 2 years ago, he was splitting time at Michigan. He wasn't the bona fide guy on his own campus. So I don't think J.J. McCarthy is happening.
Well,
If they can't get Drake May, take Malik Nabers if he's there, or Romo Dunze, get an actual playmaker, because the Giants almost, like, they have to replace the explosiveness of Saquon Barkley. And then you got Darius Slayton talking about holding out or whatever, your leading receiver. Like, he defaults into being the leading receiver. Get a bona fide number one.
I wouldn't be surprised if they can't get May if they drop down to 8 or 12 or whatever.
Yeah, or trade back. Trade back and see if anybody takes Michael Penix Jr. That kid can throw the ball. Like, I think that Shane and Dable are crafty. I think that they're smart. I think that they're experienced at this. And they're going to play the board. And they're going to play these teams. And they're going to see what's available to them. They're not going to make a mistake here. I think J.J. McCarthy would be a mistake.
Now, the tough Yankee question. I'm only proposing this because I think this is the World Series team, possibly. Marlins' season is done for. You call up and you want Tanner Scott and Jesus Lazardo, and you tell Miami, okay, which catcher do you want, Wells or Augusto Ramirez? You give him Everson,
Gleyber Torres.
I'll take the other. No, but Everson Perez, the center fielder who's been hitting bombs down in AAA this year. You offer him the pitching prospect Warren, and you offer him the shortstop from the Dominican Republic, Roderick Arias.
Yeah.
You're giving up a lot.
But you're going all in for an all-in year where you have Juan Soto for 1 year, Rizzo on his last year.
Would you make that trade if you were to
get it? Hell yeah. To add Lizardo and Tanner Scott, to add a starter and a closer or reliever? Yeah.
I would too also. And it doesn't really, you're not trading Spence, you're not trading Dominguez. You keep one of the catchers, either Wells or Ramirez, but I got to tell you, I know you'd want to keep Wells being a left-handed hitter, but this kid Ramirez, have you seen him play?
I know of him. Austin Wells, to me, he had a ton of hype. Austin Wells, to me, is not, I don't care for him. I'm not attached to Austin Wells. Like you said, I know you want to keep Austin Wells because he's a left-handed hitting catcher. Where's the power? I was told that this guy's going to be a guy that hits 20, 30 home runs. Like, nah, I have no attachment to Austin Wells.
Ramirez,
I know he's young, but
arm is like a rifle, and his pop-up time is great. And like in 7-8 games, he already has 5 or 6 home runs already.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. And if he could even expand the trade and get Arias, the second baseman, that'd be even better.
Yeah, they got to figure out a few things. Gleyber Torres, get him out of here. Another starter to pair with Gerrit Cole, and we need like a power pitcher in the back of the bullpen, man. We were in there talking about
Tanner Scott.
Yeah. We were talking about the kid Miller that we saw Monday from the Oakland
A's.
Oh,
I love that kid.
I was not familiar with Mason Miller's game. I'm like, what the hell? 25 years old, he's 6'5", he throws 104. Someone in there tonight.
I told you about a week ago.
Mason Miller? I guess I forgot because I was in there talking to some guys tonight. There were 3 different Oakland A's fans with green shirts that just said sell. And they were like, well, you know, the A's will trade them to you guys. The A's always make deals with the Yankees. They'll try and fleece you for, you know, 3 prospects, but they'll give you Mason Miller. I'm like, I don't care. I would love to see that guy coming in to close games for the Yankees in October. Are you kidding?
Hey, we got Roger Maris from the Kansas City, which is, not, I think, now Oakland. So you never know. Take care. Peace.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. 877-337-6666. Yeah, the Yankees, man. Shout out to Luke Weaver. I forgot to say that. The Yankees bullpen has been interesting. Between injuries, guys coming in and out, some guys being effective, some guys not. Roller coaster with, Caleb Ferguson. Luke Weaver today came in. Put up zeros, pitched 2 2/3 innings, struck out 3. I was happy to see that. I know it's the Oakland A's. Ian Hamilton. But I just feel like there's so many teams in Major League Baseball that have these guys that are coming in late in the games throwing gas. We need that. Clay Holmes is what he is. Like, how confident are you in Marinaccio? Like, and I know, like, Tommy Canley's coming back. Whatever. I don't know. Like, we need an Edwin Diaz. Nacho is in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. Oh, we're right up against it. Nacho, you got to hold. I thought I could have squeezed you in before we got to one. Let's take the break, and I can give you your fair amount of time to talk and get your point across. He wants to talk Mets. I'm going to see if Nacho is down to trade Edwin Diaz. We know it's not happening. Who do you guys want for Edwin Diaz? Soto? One more hour left. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.